Mr. Stone.
May it please the Court, Mr. Brandon. This case comes to you from the Southern District of Illinois in a small place called West Salem, and I represent a young boy named Jared Carter who was playing with a friend, Tanner McVeigh. Tanner McVeigh lives with his mother and father in a mobile home on his grandmother's property. His grandmother was insured by Grinnell. His parents and himself, or he, was not insured. What happened is that when Tanner McVeigh and Jared were playing on his grandmother's property, Tanner shot Jared in the eye with this paintball gun, and suit has been filed in state court against Tanner McVeigh and the grandmother for negligent entrustment. There's been a denial of coverage for young Tanner McVeigh. The issue in the case is whether Tanner McVeigh's situation as it relates to his grandmother provides coverage to him under his grandmother's policy. And I would ask the court to focus with me on the definition of insured. I've had it blown up, hopefully.
I haven't had it blown up nearly large enough. It's not readable at this distance.
Okay.
Why don't you just tell us where it is in your brief, because that's right
on
in front of us.
Page 5 of the brief, Your Honor. Beginning at the bottom of the page, it said, insured means you and residents of your household who are your relatives, which is reasonably clear and straightforward. Neither of those, or that definition in 3A, would not involve young Tanner McVeigh because he does not live in his grandmother's household. He lives in a separate household on the same property. When you turn to page 6, the top of page 6, the definition of insured continues, and it says, other persons under the age of 21 and in the care of any person named above. Now, one way to read that is with respect to the term other persons. Does other persons mean persons other than your relatives who happens to be under 21 and in the care of, in essence, a babysitting situation? Or does it mean other persons other than your relatives and other than people who live in your household?
I don't understand that. It doesn't mean people other than people in your household.
Well,
the structure of this sounds to me like insured means you and residents of your household, assuming these residents of your household meet one of the following criteria. They have to be your relatives or et cetera. So if you have a total stranger over the age of 21 living with you in your household, he's not covered.
Right. Exactly. And I think, but with respect to that example, Your Honor, it doesn't answer the ultimate question, which is with respect to this young boy who lives on the property, who is in fact a relative and who is in fact under 21, does he...
So the question is whether he is a resident of his grandmother's household.
Right. Which he is not. But the question that...
Well, what does that leave you with?
Then the case is over.
Well, it's not over from the standpoint is if you look at 3A and 3B.
B are other residents.
B are other persons. Now, what is the term
other?
No, but
they have to be residents because 3 says insured means you and residents of your household who are relatives, other persons, et cetera, et cetera.
And, Your Honor, my question, which I think is...
A caretaker of an animal?
Right. If you read other persons, does that mean persons other than your relatives?
Well,
does
I don't
it mean
understand.
Persons?
What are you doing with the first with 3 before you get to ABC? Doesn't that limit it to you and residents?
It doesn't, for the reason that if you read 3 and then 3C, 3C can't be residents of your household. You can't have respect to animals or watercraft. You can't have animals and watercraft that are residents of your household. So, or an organization, for example, it says in 3C, with respect to animals or watercraft to which this policy applies, any person or organization. Now, an organization can't be a resident of the household. So when you read the policy as a whole, which we must do, you get to the point where you say, okay, well, 3A makes relative sense in its construction. 3B causes some doubt because we don't know what other intends. Does other mean persons other than relatives, persons other than residents of the household? By the time you get to 3C and you know that organizations cannot be residents of the household, then it calls into question that initial assessment. Are they really intending for the residency of the household to apply all the way through A through D? And once that ambiguity exists, then the question is, do you really have to be a resident of the household? Because one reasonable interpretation, in my judgment, is that the policy on the one hand is trying to say that people under 21 who are in the care of someone else...
Well, but that leaves you with the argument that the policy means that every one of the grandmother's relatives is an insured, even if he lives in Timbuktu and has never seen his grandmother in his life because he is, A, your relative.
Except your,
you can't possibly mean that.
I don't, and I disagree with you, Judge, in this respect, because the only way your example would be true is if, additionally, he is under 21, that relative is under 21 and in the care of.
No. A says your relatives. B says other persons under the age of 21, that is, non-relatives.
Yeah, and I will.
If you view A, B, C, and D as enlarging the scope of 3 beyond residents of the household, then you must think that A means every one of the grandmother's relatives, no matter where the relative lives, is an insured.
I disagree from that standpoint because I think 3A is clear. I think that in order for a relative to be insured, Your Honor, that relative has to live in the household. 3A, then that's clear. When you get to 3B, when you use the term other, what does other imply? What's the purpose of the word other? Is it to say that it's persons other than relatives? Is it persons other than residents? Now, the policy itself doesn't make that plain because once you get to 3C, then it says organizations have to be relatives of the house or residents of the household, and that can't be. And so once you read the thing 3A, B, and C, it doesn't make any sense. And the law in Illinois is that once you have that lack of clarity or that kind of ambiguity, you just rule in favor of coverage, which is what we asked the district court to do, and it didn't.
Why I think your argument implies the proposition that every living relative of the policyholder is an insured.
And I don't know how to address that other than to say...
Which is impossible, right? We all agree it's impossible.
I'm sorry?
We all agree that that would make absolute hash of the policy.
I agree that that was not the intent of the parties with respect to 3A. What I'm telling the court is that when you get to 3B, the intent of the parties is also all of a sudden not so clear, and when you get to 3C, it's clearly ambiguous. And if B is not as clear as A...
The concept of clearly ambiguous covers...
It is, in my judgment, without doubt, that it is ambiguous. And so I think, to be fair, Judge, I'm not saying that every relative is insured. And I'm not even saying that's the natural consequence of my argument with respect to B and C.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that, on the one hand, other either means that it's persons other than relatives and persons other than residents.
What is your conception of the scope of 3?
I think that's the problem, Judge.
No, what's your answer?
My answer is
what is the scope of it? Not on the one hand, on the other hand. What does it cover?
It covers residents of the household who are relatives. That's easy. When you get to other...
Just answer my question.
I'm trying to, Your
Honor.
I'm trying to. Residents of the household.
We know that. Right.
Okay.
Now what next?
3B, persons under 21 who are in the care of someone above. They do not have to be relatives, and they do not have to be residents of the household because they are persons other than those people. For example, if this woman were babysitting a person under 21, if this was not a relative, if this person didn't live on the land, if this was a neighbor boy who she was caring for, and she was babysitting, and that boy shot my boy, then that boy would be covered because this policy, which covers the grandmother, covers also people who are under 21 and in her care. This is the babysitting
situation.
But it says,
and in the care of any person named above.
Named above,
well,
relatives or...
to relatives and residents.
Right. So if a relative manage your...
Oh, I see. You think a relative, in the care of a relative.
Right. If a relative is babysitting the neighbor child, if a resident of the household who is a relative is babysitting the neighbor child, there's coverage. That's the scope of this. And to argue that it's not the scope is to imply a level of clarity that doesn't exist in the policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Mr. Brandon, would you take that placard away, please? Mr. Brandon.
Please, the court. My name is Kent Brandon. I'm here on behalf of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company. I think the court has made most of my argument already.
Well, you didn't say anything in your brief about C.
I did not, nor about D, Your Honor.
Well,
I didn't
forget
know,
D. I'm asking you about C.
Right, I don't think this case involves animals or watercraft.
Well, I know it doesn't involve animals. His argument is that C shows that the introductory clause in 3 can't be taken literally, since since organizations can't be a residence of a household.
I don't read it that way. I think you look at 3 and you read the language up there, and it says residents and relatives who are, and that's the important part of that phrase.
Yes, I know, but how do you square that with C, which is also under 3?
C. I don't think you can square it. I think that it involves other issues. And
well, why was it put under 3 then? It says insured means you and residents of your household who are an organization.
All right.
That doesn't sound
right.
Who are
a watercraft.
That's what I'm saying about that.
But you wish you had waived oral argument.
Wait. Excuse me.
I said I bet you wish you had waived oral argument.
I beg your pardon?
Said I bet you wish you had waived oral argument at this stage of the game. Go ahead. You're ahead
no,
of
I, Your Honor, I really wanted to come to Chicago. I don't get here very often, and it was worth my trip.
We welcome you to the city.
All right. Now, to directly answer your question, that is not as clear as it might be, but it's not a part of this case. The plaintiff, if you look at what happened...
Of course it's a part of the case, what? Because his argument is that this shows that 3 is gibberish, right? And we have to give it some kind of creative meaning, because read literally, it doesn't make any sense.
See this first. This was not raised in the trial court.
That's irrelevant.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
We're trying to make sense of this. What is the sense of this? Was C just... I mean, the problem with C, and I don't know about D, maybe D fits, but it looks as if they shouldn't have been subsumed under 3. So did something happen? C and D shouldn't have been subsumed under 3, right?
I think that you're probably correct. It might have been clear if they were
so
not.
So do we know what happened? Is some typographical mistake? Maybe there's a... very puzzling.
I don't know the answer to that, whether it's a typographical error. I think that if you read it, I think there is a certain clarity to it. I think that in this particular case, you're looking for an ambiguity in a part of the policy that has no application to the facts before this court. I understand the court rules and decides that you look at the entire policy. But I think in this case, it's crystal clear the plaintiff's conceded that he is not a resident of his grandmother's household, but he still seeks coverage. And he seeks coverage on the theory that there's some ambiguity in parts of the policy relate to animals, watercraft, and vehicles.
And drivers, right, yeah.
And drivers. The plaintiff hasn't addressed the in care of issue, which is another part of his complaint and another part of the argument for this court. I think that's well addressed in the briefs, Your Honor, and I don't think that there's any reason to really go into that unless there's specific questions about it. I would say one thing. The plaintiff alleges that the grandmother in this case exercised the ultimate authority over this young paintball shooter by telling him not to do it again. I think that any parent or grandparent realizes the ultimate authority is to confiscate the toy, in this case the paint gun. She didn't do that because she was not in charge of him. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.